devil's advocates invented malarkey. Don't let me
down. And we are back. We will never let you down. You can join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
So, what's the end game with this whole, you know, Trump and Wisconsin Supreme Court? And above and beyond, perhaps, the lack of unmanned absentee ballot drop boxes. You know, apparently those are suspect now. So, despite the support of Republicans, and I believe they actually instituted those drop boxes, but whatever. But what's the end game here, ultimately? I mean, we've talked about this, Tom. This engagement is tremendous. It's off the charts. They That's stole exactly it. We was robbed.
Keep them anxious. Keep them fired up. That's what they're doing. That's what they're trying to do.
But it's not enough just to say, you know,
we lost.
We lost.
Come on, man. Paul Ryan said they lost. Senator Ron Johnson said they lost.
Paul Ryan, did you see Paul Ryan's quote over the weekend? Apparently, there's a new book out.
He wept.
He wept during the January 6th. And I'm wondering if those were tears of his own conscience. You know, because this didn't all just start on January 6th. Know what I mean? We didn't just start there as the end game. This was enabled. This happened with the co-conspirators, guys like Paul Ryan. They merged their agenda, right?
Yes.
Paul Ryan could have done the right thing for the American people. I mean, Paul Ryan was a vice presidential candidate. And what happened when the Access Hollywood tape dropped? You recall late during the season? Well, he just disinvited Trump for the weekend.
Yeah, there was some party or a fundraiser that Paul Ryan was doing. And once that came down, he was like, yep, Trump's not invited now. And Trump, I don't believe, went. Trump was uninvited.
Trump did not. He was disinvited from the big boogaloo, the big fundraiser, whatever it was, you know, the shindig, the hootenanny. But then they merged their agendas. Right? Trump's agenda was Paul Ryan's agenda. By 2018, he was out. But he kept cashing checks, and he stayed on the board at Fox News. He didn't, like, reform himself. So when I hear this disingenuous, crying tears, sobbing through the insurrection, I think those are like tears of guilt.
You know what I mean? Guilty conscience.
Do people cry when they're guilty? Because I feel like Paul Ryan is guilty. I feel like Paul Ryan was supposed to be the guardrail. He was supposed to be the adult in the room. You know, you elected this outsider, this crazy, you know, reality TV dime store grifter. But there were supposed to be some adults in the room, guys like Paul Ryan. They were supposed to help shift the agenda. And instead, Ryan fully sold out his soul, his conscience, the American people, the Constitution. Paul Ryan was down for all that selling out, right? So don't tell me. There's no crying in the insurrection, Paul Ryan. You know what I mean? There's no crying. I feel zero sympathy for the man.
I totally concur, Crudy. From CNN regarding this, Paul Ryan was sobbing. Ryan, who criticized Trump and his hold on the Republican Party, found himself sobbing during the insurrection. Journalist Mark Leibovich said, writes in a forthcoming book, Thank You for Your Servitude, a copy which was obtained by CNN. Quote, I spent my whole adult life in that building. Ryan, who served as a Republican congressman from Wisconsin for 2 decades, said, according to the book, and I saw my friends, a lot of cops, some of my old security detail. I'm still friends with a bunch of those guys. It really disturbs me, foundationally. Leibovich writes that Ryan told him he's not much of a crier, but something snapped in him as he watched the Capitol attack.
I see him more as a frequent crier, but, you know, that's a differing point.
The Wisconsin Republican has previously decried the horrifying end to Trump's time in office, but Leibovich writes that Ryan never thought Trump's unfounded election grievances would come to the violence on January 6th. Ryan figured the president would bitch and moan and maybe make a big show of fighting, quote-unquote, for his supporters for a while. Everyone could feel good and victimize, but eventually Trump would just leave. Hopefully he would know to do this on his own, and everyone could then just get on with their lives, Leibovich writes in the book. He writes that Ryan hadn't spoken to Trump since leaving Congress, and he expected never to speak to him again.
Yeah, but he doesn't exactly publicly speak out against him.
Well, exactly.
Like this weekend would have been a prime example when Donald Trump's coming out and saying, a Wisconsin Supreme Court 4-3 ruling where a couple of the very conservative, very partisans on the court threw out some tempting language, some language for the former president. You know, here's some red herrings for you. You know, these corrupted, illegal ballot boxes, they're all doing that for Trump's sake. But no one ever offered any evidence, any credible evidence.
Where was Ryan?
That there was actually any votes stolen.
And his emotion and his you know, his core of his self that was shocked to all this. Where's his comments on that, Crude? It's a great point. I mean, the silence is deafening because what? They still want the Trump vote. They still want the mega vote. They still want the white Christian nationalist vote.
And Paul Ryan effectively has become a lobbyist, and he's still cashing the K Street checks. And they're sweet. They're fat. And, oh, yeah, the Fox News board. That pays him, what, $400,000 a year just to sit on the board.
Finally, from this CNN piece, noting Ryan's role on the board of the Fox Corporation, the parent company of Fox News, and alluding to the times as speaker that Ryan didn't stand up to Trump, Leibovich writes that Ryan, quote, was not inclined to grapple with questions of complicity in the attack. I was absolutely horrified, Ryan said broadly, of the insurrection. Yeah, you were horrified. Everybody, well, most people were horrified. But so what? Great feeling. What are you doing about it? I mean, you may as well give me thoughts and prayers, Paul Ryan. You wept for our country. Why? You wept for our country. Did you weep for yourself? What exactly were you weeping and sobbing about? And what did you do about it once you collected yourself? Once you got your composure, what did you do? Oh, well, that was a bad. Donald Trump lost the election. Why don't you stand up and shout it from the rooftops, man? Why don't you take on some of your own maggots, man? To say this, that you were horrified, but you're not going to get into the details and don't want to grapple with the questions of complicity? Well, thanks for nothing.
Thanks for nothing.
Denny.
you know who's pretty optimistic, Dom?
Who's that?
Well, it had been. Well, Donald Trump had a campaign rally scheduled for this Friday. And I find it ironic that Trump has had to reschedule a Friday rally, not because he's going on an early weekend vacation. That's more your style, Dom. But because he's got to give depositions.
Oath.
Quickly here, as we wrap up this wonderful hour, former President Donald Trump has canceled a scheduled event in North Carolina due to a subpoena in New York. Oh, that's going to sting a little. Former President Donald Trump and his adult children, Ivanka Trump, Donald Jr., are scheduled to testify under oath on July 15th as part of a probe by the New York Attorney General into his finances. A court filing revealed Wednesday, Trump was scheduled to be in Greensboro the same day. Greensboro's a dump. I can tell you, Trump, you don't want to go there. The American Freedom Tour had announced in May appearances in Greensboro by Trump, Trump Jr., television news personality Kimberly Guilfoyle, the best is yet to come, former New York State Judge Jeannie Pirro, Sheriff Mark Lamb, and political commentator Dinesh D'Souza. What a fine cast. Kind of like this fine show. Come back. Hour 2 is next. Rolling into the happier happy hour.